Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Christ came after us. And not only that, he wanted to introduce us to his Father. That's why he said, I won't leave you as orphans. His view of mankind was that they were separated from the love of the Father. The first thing that you and I are going to do when we get into heaven is move into the Father's house. We're going to be restored back to the home that we lost because of what happened with Adam and Eve. In Christ, we're set free from the orphanage of the father of lies, the enemy. And we're going to move into the Father's house. In other words, we're going to be part of the Holy Family, the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Hey, Dad, if you're listening to us right now and you're wondering if your kids are really being influenced, if they're really being impacted by the way that you have treated them in relationship, whether you've done a great job of it or you'd like to do a better job of it, we're really glad you've tuned into today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast from the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University. Welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. From the streets of Inglewood to the villages in Zambia, Azusa Pacific alumni are making a difference, and you want to watch their stories on film, you can do so. Go to apu.edu/stories and learn more about what's happening. Or you can listen to the Homeward Broadcast every day. That's another way to see Azusa Pacific alumni in action as Dr. Jim Burns, APU class of, well, I won't get into how far long ago was Jim was at Azusa Pacific College anyway, but here back on campus, leading up the Homeward Center for Youth and Family. And now here's part two of Jim's conversation with Ed McGlasson on the influence and impact of the intentional dad. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. A continuing conversation today with Ed McGlasson. We're talking about the influence and the impact of the intentional dad. I'm going to say it right from the beginning. If you did not listen to the first part of this conversation, no problem. Listen now, but then you go back because it's really quite a powerful conversation. Ed McGlasson, former NFL lineman who currently pastors a great church in Anaheim, California called the Stadium Vineyard. He's a sought-after conference speaker, author of great books, and you will know really soon as you get to meet this man why he is a sought-after conference speaker. Books like A Difference a Father Makes, Be Loved, Embracing God's Unconditional Love and Acceptance, and Roger's going to tell you more about that later. He's married to his wife, Jill, for nearly 30 years. They make their home in Orange, California with their five children. Ed, I am so excited you could give us some more time and we can keep talking about this very important subject, the influence and impact of intentional dads.
Amen. I'm here. That's the mission of my life got changed when God turned me from a boy to a man.
Right.
You know, the greatest thing that a guy can do, it's not win the Super Bowl, it's not to make all the money, is when he can be a present person in the life of his kids. Yeah. And a lover to his woman, yeah, and speak life into her as well.
And yet, I think that's the desire of most men. They didn't get it at home. They didn't see the role model. They want it. They don't know how to do it. You said in a previous conversation that, you know, we have to take the first step, and then through that transformation, we then can bless our own kids. How do you take that first step?
Well, see, the first step happens to us. I don't think we get to choose as much.
Right.
He chooses us. You know, what did C.S. Lewis said, that he felt like a deer and the Lord was a redskin who took unerring aim and grabbed his heart. I mean, Christ came after us. Mm. And not only that, he wanted to introduce us to his Father. That's why he said, I won't leave you as orphans. His view of mankind was that they were separated from the love of the Father. And the thing that just struck me this year was the first thing that you and I are going to do when we get into heaven is move into the Father's house. We're going to be restored back to the home that we lost because of what happened with Adam and Eve. We're going to get to be set free. We were in Christ, we're set free from the orphanage of the father of lies, the enemy. And we're going to move into the Father's house. In other words, we're going to be part of the Holy Family, the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the church has either been Jesus, Jesus, Jesus on one side, or Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. And the Father, the kind of the principal glue of the Trinity, is missing in homes, missing in churches. I've done almost 90 events. And what the biggest surprise to me was that more than 80% of the senior pastors were the first ones to walk forward. And it wasn't these guys didn't love their kids. Every dad sure. wants to love their kids. But the problem is we got this thing called PKs in the church. It's one of my missions to eradicate that word from the English language. Because in the church, we should have the best kids. In the church, we should have the parents that are connected. Well, why? Well, we need to get connected to the Father that we've always wanted first. And as we're connected to Him, it changes our addiction to naming ourselves so that we can be released to bless those who God brings our way.
You know, between our conversations, my good friend Mike, you said you wanted to pray with him, and you prayed that he would not just be, and then you kind of mentioned what he does, but that he would be the beloved son
right.
Of the Father.
Right.
I think that is a yearning for so many men. I think for women too, as a daughter. If they're listening to this program, I mean, what do they do? Where do they go? How do they find this?
Well, you know, when my daughters were little, you know, girls have always been very confusing to guys. How many guys would say amen from where they're driving? And I remember my two daughters one day, they were trying to get my attention. I had this little prophetic one named Jessica, and she would always sit on the couch next to me as I'm watching a football show at the right, you know, right moment, fourth down and goal, you know, the team's going to win. She'd grab my face and whip it to the side and go, look at me. Daddy, look at me. And I'd say, okay, just a minute. Let me finish my program. And one day she was standing in the atrium outside my office and I saw her and I just gave in. I went, oh, you're so beautiful. Which when I glanced her way and smiled at her, she got so excited. She ran back, changed her outfit, did it again. For an hour, her and her sister changed her clothes. And I'm sitting there watching this going, God, what do women want? And this phrase just came up in my heart from him. And he said, when a little girl is born, she's born with a question in her heart. Daddy, do you see me? Am I beautiful? Am I someone to be loved? If you will answer that for your daughters, Ed, they won't give their gifts away to a pretender. Man, I understood my wife in that moment, guys, more than I ever have. Those moments when we're late for a meeting, she comes out of her boudoir and she's now put all of her makeup on and she's got her jewelry and she's standing there the other day with these two earrings and she goes, which ones? And I got one right. You know, every once in a while we get one right. I know she's looking at me going, do you see me? Am I beautiful? And I said, honey, will you forgive me? Well, what'd you do? That I'm not a wealthy enough man to search the world over to find two jewels that are as beautiful as your eyes are right now. She looks at me and goes, oh, that's good. You're going to get really lucky. That's really, really good. And so I began to see in my daughters this incredible yearning that needed a father's blessing and presence so that they don't have to be named beautiful by some boy with pink hair and tattoos and his pants halfway down his backside. But I could be the first man in her life to bless her and speak life into her.
In your book, you talk about kind of an affirmation exercise.
And well, so it's actually a blessing. It's
a part of this is a blessing. I was just going to say, it's a rite of passage where you're affirming them. How do you go about doing that? I know there was a time with, even you mentioned Jessica, there was a time in your life with Jessica where she was going to step into adulthood and you used the word, I called her out. And you mentioned that word before, called her out. What did you do?
Well, the first part with Jessica, so you know, is I blew it for a bunch of years, you know, from 13 to 16. I didn't know how to navigate this. I had called Edward out first. Guys are a little easier. But my daughter Jessica, she was the one who, if she wanted to go out on a date, she would never let you know. One of the things my wife asked me to do was, she said, if you'll date your daughters, they won't give their hearts away to pretenders as a dad. But I'd go to Jessica and say, hey, you want to go on a date? And her no meant, I want to see if you want to work for it. Mary, it's opposite. She just come to daddy, I need you. And so I saw in Jessica, I wounded her. And so you can't really bless your children, and I talk about this in my book, until you have their heart. You can't, it's not magic. I'm going to go bless my daughter today. The first thing you got to do is reestablish the heart by, you know, touching him. So I had to ask for a lot of forgiveness because I was traveling around the country with Edward doing golf tournaments. And here's Jessica at home at her recitals. And I wasn't getting excited over her recital like I was over Edward's 8-putt to make it into U.S. Open. And so it's like, you know, and she got really wounded. And after some time of repairing her heart, she said, "Dad, I'm ready to become a woman now. Because I know when you bless me, I'm going to get what my brother got. I'm going to get the grace of God to be a woman." I couldn't believe what she said to me. She saw it in her brother. So I took her to a restaurant. I bought a promise ring. And I spent the night telling her what I loved about her. See, there's nothing more powerful that you and I can do, Jim, than to tell our kids what we love about them. It sets a goal line for their life. And if you're always saying, "Is your homework done? Did you do this? Do you take out the trash? How are your grades? Are you showing up at the time? Are you making money?" We are conditioning them to perform for love. But when we tell them what we love about them, we're naming them and giving them a goal line for success. When we tell them what we see in them that God's made them for, they go, "Well, my dad sees this in me." And it somehow in that moment, Jim, it enables them to feel connected to God. And they go, "Well, God loves this about me because my dad said this about me." But imagine a life that dads never say but critical things, or maybe they're never there. So I took her out, and I knew the end of this time was coming in our dinner. And I got down on one knee. And I pulled out this ring. I put it in a little flower and a rose. And I said, "Jessica, I'm offering you this ring as a token between you and God that you'd wear this ring until your wedding night and hold back your body from any boy until God gives you a man of your choosing and you'd give him your body on your wedding night. Will you wear this?" "Yes, Daddy." And I looked at her and I said the words that Jesus heard from his dad that I said to Edward and over his life. I said, "From this moment on, because of the authority that God's given me as your father, you're no longer a little girl. Your name is no longer what you do. You are my beloved daughter in whom I love." And the grace of God fell on my daughter and she started sobbing. She jumps in my arms. She hugs me. The sweetest hug you could ever get as a dad. The tables that were really close were some of the wives were listening in, sort of elbowing their husbands, right? Those that were farther away didn't understand and misread the situation. And one guy stands up in the back and goes, "Way to go, dude." He thought of some old guy proposing to this young chick. You know, we are in California. And so he goes, no, "That's a dad with his daughter." And our relationship from that moment in Jessica's life changed. Because no longer am I now raising a girl to be a woman. I've given her permission to be one. And somehow, in the economy of the way God works, in the Word of God, in the Holy Spirit, the grace to be that woman descended on her. When Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians 13. "When I was a boy, I spoke like a boy." Well, he could have said, "When I was a girl, I spoke like a woman, acted like a woman," if a woman wrote that. "But when I became a woman, I put away childish things." Every girl needs that moment in their life. And Jesus came to not only die for our sins and resurrect us into a new life. The new life, I believe, is to receive the new name, Beloved. I think this is just a theory. And I can be wrong, and it's not a sin. The name on the back of the white rock in the book of Revelation, when we turn it over, we're going to be expecting all this stuff, but we're going to hear it once again. Beloved.
That is what all of us crave, yearn for, and it's ours. You know, the God of eternity loves you not for what you do, but for who you are.
Yes.
I'm his child. We're going to take a break. Obviously, if you've been listening for longer than 30 seconds, you're involved in this conversation, and it's not only what you want, but it's also what you want to pass on to your kids. Ed McGlasson, the influence and the impact of the intentional dad.
And we do have an influence, and we do have an impact on the lives of our kids, and especially this being Father's Day weekend here on the Homebird broadcast, we're focusing our attention on dads being influential and being impacting in the lives of our kids. You want to be intentional. It starts with being intentional. And if you're a mom listening to this program right now and dad needs a nudge in this area, visit our online resource center at homeward.com. Find books like Teenology by Dr. Jim Burns, Confident Parenting by Dr. Jim Burns, both of those books available for purchase in our online resource center. More on how you can do so later on in the broadcast. Right now, we're going to continue with the conclusion of today's edition of the Homeward program and also be listening for an opportunity to get a copy of the audio CD of this broadcast as well. Now, once again, here's Jim. Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Holy moments, Roger, that we're having here, and so powerful and so meaningful. Ed Tandy McGlasson is with us. The influence and impact of the intentional dad is what we're talking about. If you've just joined us, a former NFL lineman who currently pastors a great church, and I mean it's a great church. It's in Anaheim, California. It's called the Stadium Vineyard. A sought-after conference speaker and author of several good books that Roger's been talking about. He's been married to his wife, Jill, for nearly 30 years, and they make their home in Orange, California, with their five children. Ed, right before the break, we were talking about this amazing experience that you had with Jessica, and some people may say, well, you know, that's not really my personality or whatever. But somebody else may say, and I want to give you a case study, and I want you to speak to it. It was a case study of a conversation I had about 2 weeks ago with a couple who were broken because their 20-something daughter had walked away from the faith, had grown up in their home. This was a pastor and his wife. And the young woman, you know, is now living with her boyfriend, and they don't know how to reach her because they do want to give her the blessing and know that she's loved unconditionally. At the same time, they have concerns that she's making some unwise decisions that may last for, you know, her entire life. What do you say to that couple? What kind of advice?
Well, you know, I've gotten this question a lot from the shows, radio shows, different conferences, lots of dads. And this is what I tell them. There's been some kind of a disconnect with that dad and that daughter. It's not a personality issue where a dad, you know, it's not my personality to be emotional with my kids. Right. Well, you were kind of conditioned that way. But I've known some of the hardest, most strategic Swedes meet Jesus Christ and become, blubbering idiots, you know, every time they worship.
Right.
So part of it is your heart is captured with this message yourself. But see, what mom and dad need to do is that they need to capture that daughter's heart back again. Because if you don't have her heart, you can't speak into her.
How do you capture their heart when you do have concerns about unwise decisions? I think this girl was also, you know, taking some drugs or at least smoking pot or something.
See, we have this concept, and I'm probably going to step on a few toes here, sure, called tough love.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But the way it's worked out, because so many parents who do that have an orphan heart, mm-hmm, tough love is out of sight, out of mind. Tough love in Jesus' equation is he follows us around when we got puke on our face. Mm. He's there in the morning when we have had our worst day. And I tell these dads, I want to tell you, here's your mission. I don't know how much money you make, if you can take time off. I want you to give a full court press to reestablishing and being close enough to when your daughter takes a little step towards Christ, you're there. And if she's 50 miles away, you're probably going to lose her because this guy has captured her heart. He is telling her lies, and he has captured her heart and probably her body too. And you are so turned off by her doing that to you that it's about you as a parent. So you got to go and pursue her and be close enough. I had a guy a couple years ago come to me, and he came up to me and he was kind of flustered. And he goes, you know, I disagree with you. You know, this is great for everybody. I was the only guy that stayed in my seat. I love my daughter, and she ended up committing suicide. I said, oh, man, I am so sorry. This isn't like magic. I said, can I ask you a question? How many times did you date your daughter when she was going through her hard times? He started crying. He said, I never dated her. I didn't know that she had any needs. I told her I loved her. I said, that's awesome. Do you think maybe that her story could have been a little different if you'd have been connected? And it hit him. He goes, I didn't pursue her at all, did I? Because my dad never pursued me. And he said, would you pray for me? I know the ministry's over. Would you pray for me? And he just wept, and God gave him the healing he needed in his own heart, and even the reconciliation part of it, of losing his daughter. But we're never to tough love him out of our home. I'd move in next door to him and say, I don't care what you do. I'm never going to leave you, nor am I going to forsake you.
Right.
There is the issue of, well, am I going to empower them in their sin by accepting them? Even if, I mean, here's the controversial subject of the day. You find out that your son or your daughter's involved in a gay relationship. How do you treat them? Well, in the church, unfortunately, we're not real equipped. That's why Exodus International's been such a blessing to the church, is they basically say, stop sinning.
Mm-hmm.
The problem they have is they got a wrong name. If they're in alcohol, did they get the name alcoholic? The devil wants to name you something that makes you rejected to God. And the only way home for that daughter who's with a boyfriend, or that young man or older man who's in an inappropriate relationship or alcoholism or drug addiction or crazy living, is they've named themselves by their sin. What better fix than a loving, present father to go in and change that name? I think that's what he did for me and you, Jim. I think he came and he changed my name from broken to beloved, to Beulah. You know, it says in scripture, you know, beloved one. And I think as a dad, if I'm losing my primary group of sheep, my first thing has got to be back to them.
That's great input, great input. And yet I feel like there's somebody who's listening to us right now that says, I never received that. My dad is now either dead or my dad is distant. And so I'm not going to get that. And yet I want to be able to give that to my kids. I don't have it within me to do that.
Well, here's the great news. If you are in Christ, if you're listening today and you have never totally received Christ, you can do it right now in this show. Just pray this prayer with me right now and say, Jesus, I don't have all the answers, but I know what I'm hearing right now on the radio and this podcast is speaking to me. I ask you to come into my life and to give me a do-over. I ask you to do that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I ask you to come in and forgive me. I give you all of my sin. If you just prayed that prayer, I mean, that simple little prayer, that little moment right there, the Bible promises is that he who confesses the Son has life. But if you didn't have a dad in your life, once you have Christ, because you got to have him, this isn't magic that you can just paint and be a loving dad. You've got to have an encounter with the Father Jesus wanted to introduce you to. And that's what he came. When he went into that water in the Jordan River and came out, and that Father's voice spoke over him, he was the first born of a whole new creation. He was the second Adam, the Bible says. He was the beloved Son, so that in him we get the same name. And maybe you're in that place in your life right now, and you didn't have God bless you. You never had your dad tell you what he loves about you. Oh, Lord, I pray for those people that are listening right now, that you would meet them right where they're at. Maybe they're a single mom right now, and they're working two jobs, and they can't even keep up with their kids, and they don't feel like there's any hope for their kids. Your answer isn't just to find a man to be over your kids. Your answer is to have a father so that you can become a new person and be refreshed. Lord, I pray for that single mom right now. And I ask you, Lord, that you'd fall on her and the same blessing that you spoke over your son, Jesus, in the same name. You're no longer separated. You're no longer divorced. You're no longer broken. You're no longer a single mom. From this moment on, you are my beloved daughter and whom I love. And everything that you need to be a mother and to stand over and bless your kids is yours in Christ. And here's another promise for you. God is an expert of being a father to the fatherless. How did I know that? I lost my dad, and he came to me. And that'll be for your kids too. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. What a powerful prayer there, and a great way for us to end today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast. Our thanks to Ed Tandy McGlasson, The Influence and Impact of the Intentional Dad. Ed is the author of the book, The Difference a Father Makes. It's one that we highly recommend here at Homeward. Also mentioned that Dr. Jim Burns has a couple of books that if you're a dad and listening and looking for some encouragement, the books Teenology and Confident Parenting, those books are available for purchase in our Resource Center. When you do purchase from us, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting the ministry, and you can handle that transaction online at homeward.com. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. And oh, by the way, happy Father's Day. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.